Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're hearing music from Australian guitar virtuoso Tommy Emmanuel. He's a master finger picker and essentially a one-man band playing bass, rhythm, and melodic lines along with percussion all on a single acoustic guitar. Emmanuel learned the guitar by ear, doesn't read or write music, although his repertoire is filled with his own composition. Emmanuel plays hundreds of concerts around the world every year, and he's on his way to South Dakota in a few days. He's in Sioux Falls Saturday evening at the Orpheum Theater and in Rapid City on Monday for a performance at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center, and he joins us on the line. And Tommy Emmanuel, thanks for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Hello, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just great, and I'm looking over
your
tour.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that very much. And hearing a little bit of Halfway Home made me smile.
Yeah, good. You said it made you smile, and I've heard you talk about yourself as not being in the music business but being in the happiness business.
That's right. I play music, and people get happy. What a good job.
And makes yourself happy.
Well, you know, you could say the same, because radio is such an important part of our lives, and especially in places like South Dakota and Montana, Idaho, all those places where radio is the great communicator and the great entertainer. I love radio much more than television.
Mm. Well, in listening to you play, it sounds like you're exploring every possible thing that you can do with a guitar.
Well, I'm doing my best with it, but it's a never-ending source of it challenges you, and you're always trying to write something that's interesting and that will last and that will speak to people's hearts, you know. But really, I'm an entertainer. And I like to make people feel good and have a good time and forget their troubles. And that's really what an entertainer's job is, to take people out of their lives into another kind of dimension. And that's the magic of being on stage and being in music. And, well, I'm so excited to be coming there because I've never been to South Dakota before, never been to Sioux Falls or Rapid City. I'm so looking forward to it. It's a part of America that I've never been to.
Now, you started your, summer tour last month, but you had kind of a break, and then you get started again, I think, what, already tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, I just, I finished the tour, finished up in on the East Coast. We did three nights in New York. We did two nights in somewhere south, the south of Philadelphia. And then I taught at Berklee in Boston, and I did a concert at Berklee College of Music. And then I went to England to visit my children, and then I came back here to Nashville, and we had the annual Chet Atkins Appreciation Society convention, and we got the NAMM show this week. And I just filmed, filming a new video and finished off recording my new solo album, all in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
While learning two Oriental languages.
Wow. Now you mentioned Chet Atkins, and wonderful, legendary guitarist. Now he is someone who's very important to you.
Absolutely. I mean, when I, hearing Chet when I was a kid, that's what changed my life and set me on a course that I'm still on. You know, when I heard Chet play, I didn't quite know or understand what was going on. I was way too young, and the music was, and the sound was way too sophisticated. But I knew the moment I heard that sound, I said, that's what I've got to do. Whatever that is, that's what I've got to do. And it was my life's mission to work out how to play like that and to try and do something close to what he was doing, because I thought it was so brilliant. And and then later on in life, I worked on being a composer, and I back in the early 80s, I used to come to Los Angeles and hang out and song with other songwriters, and basically beg, stole, and borrowed as much as I could to learn the craft of songwriting and how it all works, and to go out and see players and be inspired and keep working on it, you know. And But I've always been on stage, you know. I've always been in the music business, and that's all I ever wanted to do.
You mentioned you write a lot of your own songs, and we started off with one of your own compositions. But we've got something queued up here that's a Rodgers and Hart standard, just so you give people a little bit a taste of your playing again. This is your version of Blue Moon.
Ah, thank you.
That's Tommy Emmanuel playing a little bit of Blue Moon. The Sterling guitarist is coming to South Dakota in a couple days. He'll be in Sioux Falls for a concert at the Orpheum Theater Saturday evening, and then Monday in Rapid City at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center. And Tommy Emmanuel, that version of Blue Moon, is that a good example of where you're playing, you know, the bass, the melody, and the rhythm right there on the guitar?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's where I came up with that idea way, way back in the 70s. Where I wanted to play the melody and then the chords, and then I wanted the bass to move through the changes, make the bass spell out the chord changes. And so I had to find a way of moving the bass around like a bass player. And, oh boy, that was challenging. But a lot of people love that arrangement, and that makes me very happy. Blue Moon is a classic melody, and you know, Rodgers and Hart wrote some great songs. I've got quite a few of those kind of arrangements, and I love the Beatles music as well, and I play some Beatles tunes in the show. And I do a bit of a mixture of my own compositions and different styles, and also some traditional stuff like guitar boogie and Beatles tunes and stuff like that. So I try to mix it up, you know.
In taking a Beatles song, you know, we all know those songs so well. They're just a part of us. How do you take those songs and then try to do something unique or different, something that's that just shouts, oh, this is Tommy Emmanuel playing?
Well, hopefully, Carl, what I do with them is a unique thing. I still play the melodies faithfully, and I try to play the piano part. Say, for instance, if you're doing a tune like Lady Madonna, where you've got the bum 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 bum, so I play that part with my thumb, and then I play the Lady Madonna, children at your feet. I play that part with my fingers, put the two together, and all that stuff comes from listening to Chet Atkins. You know, he mastered all that stuff.
Now, getting back to Chet Atkins again, now, if I understand things correctly, after you heard him, you were, what, like 7 years old, and you actually wrote him letters?
I did. We became kind of pen pals. If you can imagine this, back in the 60s, Chet was the busiest guy in Nashville in those days. He was running RCA Records and producing a whole roster of artists and everything. And I wrote a fan letter to him. And he answered it and sent me a photograph and autographed and everything. And then years later, I sent him a tape of me playing some tunes. And he wrote back saying he heard the tape and he was impressed. And here's his office number and to call him when I came over. So I was about 17 at that time. And I had to work like crazy. It took me another 7 years before I had saved up enough money to get that magic round ticket to Sydney, to Nashville and back. And I came over in 1980 and I met Chet the first time. And we played together and we became instant soulmates, you know.
I'm wondering what that was like, you know, to be 17 years old and meet this man that you admired, who inspired you, and then there you are,
goodness,
playing with him.
Oh, you can't believe it, you know. I still think about it. I mean, when I recorded the album, the day Fingerpickers took over the world, when Chet and I recorded that album together, I I still look back on that and think, did it really happen? Because it was like surreal. There I am making an album with my hero, you know? And it's still surreal to me. But he was such a great guy, and he was really like a daddy to me, and always was.
Speaking of other guitarists, last year you released a CD with guitarist Martin Taylor called The Colonel yeah. and the Governor. How did that CD collaboration yeah. come together?
Well, Martin and I, even though we're very different styles, it works. We have such a good chemistry together, and we have a lot of fun playing music. And I met Martin back in the 80s in Australia when he was touring there playing. He was playing little jazz clubs and stuff, and I invited him to come to one of my shows, and I got him up to play, and the chemistry just exploded on stage, and it was really, really good. And then when I moved to England in 98, Martin was the first person to call me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Not much. Nobody knows me here." And he said, "Well, I'm playing down the road at the Windsor Arts Centre. Come and play with me." So I did. And then I got in the audience were people who wanted to book me for concerts. And that's how I got started in England. So Martin and I helped each other out. I helped him in Australia. He helped me in England. And Martin was also a friend of Chet's. And Chet admired Martin very much. And so... we had made up our minds to record together a few years ago, and we started Skyping each other and coming up with arrangements and everything. And then we grabbed a studio a couple of years ago here in Nashville. We were both together at the Chet Atkins convention. And so when we finished that, we went straight to the studio and recorded our album, and it was such a pleasure. It really was.
Well, let's hear. We don't have much time, but let's listen to just a few seconds of you sure. and Martin Taylor playing together. Just a little bit of Tommy Emmanuel playing with Martin Taylor, a smooth one, yeah. an old Charlie Christian, Benny Goodman number.
Exactly.
And listening to that whole album, it just sounds like the two of you are just having a blast together, just enjoying listening to each other playing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's a funny thing, Carl, but I tell students all the time, one of the most important things a musician can do is listen. You know, because people are so gung-ho for playing and jamming and all that, but when you're playing with other players, you've really got to listen. And when you work with someone like Martin, you listen to every nuance of what he's doing and try to fit your part around it, you know.
We're talking with guitar virtuoso Tommy Emmanuel. He's in concert Saturday evening at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls, and then again on Monday at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center in Rapid City. We only have a few seconds left here. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
And I really appreciate your support there. We're so looking forward to coming to South Dakota and to the Rushmore and to Sioux Falls. Thanks for your support there, and we love NPR.
Thank you so much, and safe travels.
Thanks, Carl. Bye-bye.
Again, that's Tommy Emmanuel joining us here on Dakota Midday. He's in concert Saturday evening at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls, and on Monday at the Rushmore Plaza Civic Center in Rapid City. Sure to be two great shows.